right, so Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John is finishing his message to the people. He gets people to repent, get baptized, and then he rebukes the brood of vipers. And then he says, look, I baptize you with water for repentance. This is what I'm doing. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Jesus had a unique name. He was the one who baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. That was the way that God wanted the people to know Jesus as. He said, look, I am the baptizer in water for repentance, and he is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. This is how he was first introduced. This is how he was first known. And we know that Jesus did many things. Can somebody say amen? He did a lot of things. But the one thing that God introduced him to you and to me and to all the people is I want you to know Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and fire. This is what you need to know about him. And it's really interesting because if you were to ask somebody on the street and say to them, or even somebody in a church, you go to another church today and you say to them, tell me what is Jesus all about? What does God want you to know about him? What would you say? Give me some ideas. What do you expect people to say about him? The Son of God. Oh yeah, we want to know him as this. Or what else? The Savior, or the one who went to the cross, or the one who healed people, or the one, whatever. You hear about all this stuff about Jesus, and all that is true, right? But that's not what the Holy Ghost told John to say. That's not what he was commissioned to do. He said, the one thing I want you to tell people about Jesus is that he's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to know about. This is what you need, his name. As a matter of fact, no one else did what he did. No one else baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I don't do it. I prayed with somebody. But you know what I pray? Jesus, I said, here's what you say, the two steps. Number one, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. That's what you say. Because there's only one baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And his name is what? Jesus. Thank you. We got this side pretty good. Let's try it again. There's only one baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and his name is?
Jesus.
Yeah. See that? He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And then you say, the first thing you say to somebody is, Jesus, I'm asking you to baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. And then you say, Holy Spirit, I receive you now. Everybody say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I receive you now. So you ask Jesus to baptize you, and you ask the Holy Spirit, you tell the Holy Spirit, look, I'm welcoming you. I'm receiving you. We're going to go back to that later. But here's the thing. Jesus as the baptizer, knowing him as the baptizer was the reason why John could know who he was. John would not have known Jesus except for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 33. So put that in your notes. I myself did not know him. But he, who's he? God. God said to me, sent me to baptize with water, said to me, he on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend and remain, what's he do? It's the one who does what? Everybody say it.
Baptizes
with the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, he said, this is what I want you to know about him. If you know how I've got over my office, I've got the word pastor over it. If Jesus had an office here, wouldn't that be cool? What would be over his office door? Baptizer in Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? He's the baptizer in Holy Spirit. And John says, that's how you're going to know him. You're going to see the abiding Holy Spirit. Everybody say abiding Holy Spirit. Up to that point, there was only one person that had the abiding Holy Spirit. That was Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. After his resurrection, Jesus reminds them of his title and mission. Do you see this? Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem because what? John said, John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Not many days. So this baptism that Jesus was going to do had to take place after the resurrection and the cross. Jesus endured the shame and the pain of the cross for the joy that was set before him of resurrection and ascension, and then seated at the right hand, he received the Holy Spirit that he might pour him out. So it was the Holy Spirit that Jesus emphasized it after his resurrection. Now go to Acts verse 19, chapter 2. And you will see something that's really, really important, where this same title of Jesus is in Paul's ministry. The very same words. Paul comes upon a bunch of Christians in Ephesus. Yeah, it was in Ephesus. And the first question Paul said to them is what? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So here is this question. Have you been baptized? Because our job is to receive it, and his job is to baptize us. And Paul's question was, not so much are you saved at this point, because he kind of felt they were saved, but he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you see where Paul's focus was on? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And what did they say? No, we have not even heard there was the Holy Spirit. Now, they really didn't hear John's message, did they? They got baptized in water, but it wasn't John that preached to them or a disciple of John, because what was John's message? I'm baptizing in water for repentance to prepare you for the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:3, and he said, into what then will you baptize? And they said, well, John's baptism. Then Paul said this, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's what John said, right? Okay, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They began to speak in tongues and prophesied. So instead of labeling it baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just everything that happened at Pentecost happened right there. It just happened. And there were about 12 men. Glory to God. That was quite a meeting. Yeah. And so here is Paul functioning in the same anointing. Now, here's what I want you to hear me on this. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus operated in the baptism of the Holy Spirit himself. He operated in it. Right? Because the Lord told John, how are you going to find out who Jesus is? How are you going to find out the baptizer? By seeing the one baptized. Because what happened with Jesus? It says the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descended, and abode on him. That's how you know who the baptizer is. Because he's the one who's baptized. And this Holy Spirit's going to stay like a dove. Like it's going to be like abiding there. It's not going to fly away. Amen. You tell yourself right now, Holy Spirit is never going to fly away from me. Amen. He's there to live. I'm the nest of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. I'm the home. Amen. So now I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is really, really important because I think in our minds, sometimes we think that Jesus just did stuff because he was Jesus. Well, why did Jesus do that? Well, he was Jesus. Why did Jesus do that? Well, he was the Son of God. Well, Jesus did this and this and this and this and this. And I'm not going to give you all the scriptures that he said this, but I'm going to give you one place where it was testified about how Jesus did everything he did. He didn't do it because he was Jesus. He didn't do it because he was the Son of Man. He didn't do it because he was the Son of God. All that's kind of true. But here's how Jesus and the apostles said he did those things. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Some of you might have this memorized. It's a good scripture to do it. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. That's just another way of saying baptized in the Holy Spirit. You were anointed. In other words, the baptism was not water. It was oil. It was the anointing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the anointing where the Holy Spirit comes all over you. Just think of a big old jar of sweet smelling oil that goes all over you. And like baptism in water, the water dries off, right? But if you're baptized in oil, anointed oil, guess what? It abides on you. That means you're going to smell different and you're going to be a whole lot slicker than you were. Right? And this is what Peter's testifying, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here you have the Trinity, Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. The Father. All right, now turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to just keep rolling here. I'm going to keep rolling because I'm going to give you this teaching and then roll y'all downstairs. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, that means lover of God, I have dealt with all that Jesus, everybody say, Jesus began to do and teach. Okay, notice he always put do first. He did something, then taught about it. All right, next. Until the day that he was taken up after he had given commands, how did Jesus teach? Through what? He commanded through the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not talk on his own. It says that he taught through the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus of Nazareth that did supernatural miracles. Everybody say supernatural miracles. Defeated the works of the devil, right? Right? He defeated the works of the devil by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he also taught his disciples by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples through the Holy Spirit. We teach our disciples. We teach through the Holy Spirit. It's not worth it if it isn't through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the word and sends it out of us. You should never separate the word from the Holy Spirit. Paul called it the dead letter. But we don't have the dead letter. We have the living word. The living word. Why is it alive? The Holy Spirit is doing it. It is written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's go to John chapter 14. And we're going to see how in John chapter 14, verse 15, we're going to see how this scripture relates to us. If you love me, you keep my commandments. All right, so you start off by doing what God says. You do God's say, which means love. All right, next. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say another helper. Now, another means somebody else that what you have already. And he's referring to himself. You've got me right now, but I'm going to give you another because I'm not going to be here. You need this other. And this other is the Holy Spirit. It's going to be actually better than me with you. And Jesus said that. He said, it's good for you that I'm going because the Holy Spirit's not going to just be with you. Everybody say with you. But he's going to be in you. And Jesus was excited about this. He was excited about going for the cross. This excited him. It excited him to go to resurrection because when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus had the opportunity to not just be with his disciples again forever, but he was going to be in his disciples. That's cool. You know, to be with them, but to be actually inside of them, that means he's always everywhere. Acts chapter 15, keep going, 17, here we go. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. Everybody say, with you. He's with me now, and he will be in you. Next verse. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Everybody say, I will come to you. Jesus is telling them that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is coming. They are not orphans. They will experience Father God for themselves, and they're not going to be going around in life without a parent. Our spiritual father is God, and our big brother is Jesus. And it's all because of the Holy Spirit in us and with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. Think about it. He's with us. And we need to see the Holy Spirit in both places. Don't get stuck into thinking that the only way that you knew the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Right? Because there are some times where God's with you. That means he's next to you. And he's guiding you. And he may be using it through somebody else. And the church is never supposed to be by itself alone. We are supposed to be together, and that is the expression of the Holy Spirit with us. Then there's the Holy Spirit in me. So Jeremy, sitting there on the drums, he is singing in the Spirit. That means I go, praise God, the Holy Spirit's with me. Then I go, praise God, the Holy Spirit's in me. Hear what I'm saying? I'm getting blessed by this because it's the Spirit that I receive from him. Because if the Holy Spirit was not in me, I go like, what's that dude on the drum singing? What in the world is that? And I mean, his voice, I mean, he needs to take a few voice lessons, right? You know, that's the world. The world, if I was not saved, I'd just be thinking about how he's singing and what he's doing and what's he saying. I'm trying to figure it out with my natural mind. But you can't know the Spirit of God by the natural mind, right? Are we right on that? You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you to give you understanding because the Holy Spirit speaks a language that he has to give you the ability to hear. Amen. All right, so we're on one more verse. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. Now let's go to John chapter 16, verse 12. John 16, verse 12. All right, John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Holy Spirit has to tell us the things of God at the right time in our lives. There is such a thing as TMI. We cannot walk in TMI our whole lives. God wants us to know the right thing at the right time. The devil will try to get you TMI to mess your head up, to cause confusion. You don't need to know everything. And there, and in our culture now, media, everything is so available. There is more temptation for TMI today than there was 20 years ago. Next thing, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. All the truth. Thank you, Jesus. For He will not speak on His own authority. Listen to this. But whatever He hears, He'll speak. This is very important, that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't blab what you know. You don't speak what you know. You speak what you hear from the Father. You don't say everything. One of the biggest impacts of my life was a cassette recording, guys. A cassette recording by Kim Clement, where he said he never prophesies everything that God tells him. That there are times when you don't want to prophesy everything God shows you for various reasons. And he went through various, it was a great teaching. And I learned, don't blab it. You need to hear from God on what you're supposed to say. You don't say everything to somebody. Thank God I got to learn some self-control on that tongue. You know, in the natural, of course, you begin to not say stupid stuff and harsh stuff and unloving stuff because you're born again. You put what James calls a bridle on the tongue. And if you've ever been on a horse that puts the bridle between its teeth and not on the tongue, you'll know it's scary. Well, guess what? It's more scary when your tongue is between your teeth and you've got the bit and you can't let the Holy Spirit control you. You want to hear what the Holy Spirit says and only speak what He hears. And that way you're speaking on not your authority. Remember, authority means when you say the right thing to the right person at the right time. Right word, right person, right time. That's authority. Right person, right time, right word. You can't just go through, I mean, I see this happen all the time where we try to pray for somebody and we go through our head knowledge of the scriptures and we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. So then you hear every single Bible verse on healing. Well, that may not be exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say. You may not need that. Then you may need it. Now, I'm not talking about filling your mind with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking in authority. When you speak in authority, you want to be able to do it as the Holy Spirit directs you. Because God wants you to do it His way. He wants you to do it His way. Okay, whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. And that's important because the Holy Spirit knows. He only knows what's going to happen. And human beings love to make predictions. They love to make predictions. They're going to tell you what's going to happen in the future because that's like really cool. Well, guess what? Don't predict the future unless you know Holy Spirit's telling you what the future is. Because you'll be wrong. Yeah, all the time, every time. Okay, all right, John chapter 20, verse 21. Very important scripture. Before Pentecost, after the resurrection, everybody say after the resurrection, before Pentecost, everybody say after the resurrection, before Pentecost, Jesus got with His disciples in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says, peace be with you, because they were very disturbed. Why? They saw Jesus die, and they were scared when they saw Him resurrected, because they didn't understand yet. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Okay, that's good. Next verse. And when he said this, he breathed on them. So how? He said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he was teaching them. Here's what he was teaching them. I'm teaching you three things. Number one, my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is my breath in you. It's your life. How do you know somebody's alive? They're breathing. So that's the breath of the life. Number two, he says you have to receive Holy Spirit. Your job is to receive Holy Spirit. If Jesus is the baptizer, your job above your office door says receiver of Holy Spirit. So your office is here, receiver of Holy Spirit. Jesus' office is next to you, baptizer in Holy Spirit. He does the baptizing, we do the receiving. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, because this is after the resurrection, guys. After the resurrection, a born-again person is a receiver of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, go to the verse before real quick, 21. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. You have purpose and direction through the Holy Spirit. That's how you know what you're doing if it really pleases God. How many of you really honestly want to do God's will? Raise your hand. I mean, really be honest. I really want to do what God wants me to do. Holy Spirit will show you. Receive it. Amen. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So when Jesus breathed on them, what was he telling them? I'm breathing out the Scripture to you. How do we get the Scripture? By receiving the Holy Spirit. That's how you get Scripture. You don't get Scripture. This sounds strange, but you don't get Scripture by reading it necessarily. You get it by receiving Holy Spirit when you read it. And there are times when God will speak to you Scripture without you reading it. He'll just say it to you. Receive Holy Spirit, because Scripture is the breath of God. If we saw Scripture like this, we would never make the mistake of treating it like a dead letter. It's the living Word. It's the living Word. We should never treat the Word of God like it's just some letter or some rule or something that we just do. Don't ever look at it that way.